Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I was just, I want to begin a conversation in this program, and probably going to continue in a future program, but about when you think about Olympics and you think about right now the Olympics are being challenged in regards to the deaths that took place in Russia, and just seems kind of wild to even think about sending any of our Americans over to Russia right now. It's like, are you sending our men and women, our best athletes, to possible harm here? I mean, look what you've stirred up. Look what you've done.
Yeah.
Look who you've empowered, and to Russia. And Putin said, we got everything under control right here. It's like, did you see your train station just blow up? I mean, think about it. That's where they're going to be checking. I think they're going to be coming in that area. But what they're saying was, by the way, just so you understand things, the reports, news reports are that the Muslims in Russia are saying that this Olympics sports are ungodly and they shouldn't be having them there. And so that's what the reports are, that the Muslims in Russia are saying, we don't want this here. Kind of makes you think about, don't we want to keep the Olympics in America? We better really think about what we're doing in the context of embracing those who do not embrace our Constitution and embracing our foundation, our founding principles, which, you know, that particular branch doesn't, because they're saying that it's wrong. But I think about, you know, running a race, you know, how to be able to run a race. And I remember, I think, way back when running a race, I remember chasing folks in law enforcement. And and you have a race. The race is, obviously, you're going to catch someone, hopefully. And there's many more that didn't catch. And their part of the race is to run and not be caught. And but running a race on a track or something of that nature, but running, I mean, think about it. You can run one way or you can run another way. You can run by standing straight up when you start your race, or you can just you know, squat down and get that runner stance, or you can run with certain kind of shoes. You can run barefoot. I mean, there's so many different ways. I mean, the thing about it is, you really want to run in such a way that you're actually going to win, if that's the reason why you're running it. And that's what Paul talks about. Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians about a race, and that's what this is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, when he's talking about it, he's talking about running a race. That this, he compares what we're doing is to a race, and he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Everyone who competes in the game does it with strict training. Think about it. They go into some strict training. They do this, the strict training, to get a crown that will not last. But we do it, what do? Strict training to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, or do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, that I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I mean, that's a huge statement. I mean, what message are you hearing in America that says that I go into strict training? As a matter of fact, if the majority of self-professing Christians in America don't even read their Bible, you know what we think about training, right? If we're not even reading the instructions on how to run the race. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Strict training? There is no strict. You just got to acknowledge Jesus is the Son of God. No, you got to repent and make him the Lord of your life. It's a big difference in acknowledging him just as the Son of God. I mean, he is. But he says that you go into strict training. When you think about strict training, that's like a major thing. It's a training and that you're, I mean, think about it. If you're going to go, you know, play football, you're going to go play a sport, They just don't go out on the court or on the field and just suddenly start playing. Mm. Those are called fans. Those are fans. You know, they run out there when the game's over and congratulate the players who go through this this very strict, intense training. And what they do is they have to get their bodies to line up with what their desires are. They have to get their body. If they're a racer, they have to learn to get their legs and their hips and the rest of their body and their lungs to function in such a way that gives them the maximum potential. They have to train those areas. In other words, they don't do what their body wants. They do what they want their body to do, mm-hmm. you know? And then you think about a football player in regards to that, the intensity of learning the plays and learning how to run and how to block and how to, you know, do everything you have to do in the context of that. There's more time off the field than on the field.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. There's more time off the field than on the field. And most people, you know, they just see the field. They don't understand what's behind that moment on first base. What's behind that moment on the 50-yard line. What's behind that moment when they cross the finish line on a relay race. But what's behind it is a lot of strict training. And the thing about it is when they run a race, only one person wins the race. Only one team gets the ring in the NFL. I mean, only one. It's like, you know, coming in second for the Super Bowl means you get nothing. You get not ring. You don't get the ring.
Nope.
When you come in second in anything, you're not first. You didn't win.
Mm-mm.
We have a couple little condolences, you know, like here's some bronze stuff and some silver or some coins.
Cricket sound, yeah.
Yeah, but you can look at their faces. They're going like, oh, this is not what I wanted.
Right.
And it's by seconds, like tenths of a second that they're not winning. And you think about it, he's comparing it to running a race or a boxer or a fighter who's fighting. He says, I don't just don't beat in the air. I'm like focusing in the context of it. And I just want to begin a conversation about that, you know, that we should do this in such a way that we win the prize, that we're focusing on winning the prize. And the prize is a crown. A prize is a crown. And if all the people, somebody that wrote over one half of the New Testament, and if all the things that Paul said, that I don't want to do this thing, I don't want to run this race and fight this fight and preach this gospel, that in the end, I myself am disqualified in. And somebody says, well, that would never happen. Well, did you read what Jesus said?
Hmm.
Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And it sounds like somebody who actually preached about a kingdom that they themselves did not enter into.
Mm.
And people say, well, it's not the kingdom. It's actually a crown. I mean, everybody gets into the kingdom, but it's like the crown. And some people get saved, but they don't get in the kingdom. It's like, dude, I just read the word. That's what Jesus just said. He just said, many people are going to come in that day and say that, you know, I preached the gospel that I ran a race. I ran a race and all these things happened in my life that happened in people who win, but the context of it, I didn't win. I didn't do what it required of me to be able to win the race. I mean, isn't that what he's saying right
mm-hmm.
here? And it's like, wow. I mean, this is not an idea or a concept. It's like, hey, that's a good idea or concept. This is like, man, I got to focus here. I mean, you think about it. God focused by offering his son up for us, and Jesus was willing to lay down his life on the cross of Christ. I mean, think about it. In just the right time, God offered up his son. That's pretty intense. That's some stringent willingness to force one's body, even with loud cries and petitions. Although he was a son, he submitted to God. He did what God said. He did not follow his body. And because of that, he became a source for all of us. And now we're supposed to take on the same mindset. We're supposed to run in such a way as to win the prize. And understand that we're seeing people here that ran the race according to Jesus, that even though these things happen in their life, even though they preached a kingdom that was accurate and how they preached it and what happened, that they themselves didn't get in. Make sure you join us in the next program. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back. I want to kind of explore this whole concept about running in such a way as to win the prize. We're talking about, I'm going to be talking about, you know, running in such a way, living our lives in such a way that we're mindful of it. And, It's so important because when you think about it, I guess, you know, what really always did bother me when I heard a lot of things talked about and preached in America was when I went into the Bible and read what God said about it versus what men were saying about it. I was like, this is different. Mm-hmm. This is different. I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to get past what I'm reading. Help me out here. And of course, the conclusion was obviously that God is right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth. And so when I was reading the words here, when you think about it, now I talked about an earlier program, but think about it. When you're running a race, if you're going to be a marathon runner, or you're going to be a sprinter, you're going to be a football player, you're going to be a baseball player. I mean, you train. There's more time behind the scenes and disciplining your body than there is actually on the field of utilizing the techniques and the things that you learned. And this is what people do. People don't show up on the training days. They don't show up when you're not in uniform and when you're out there sweating and you're having to push through your work day and get out to the field and do your training and learn all this classroom stuff about what this kind of play is and that kind of play is and having to your diet had to be right to be able to bring strength to your muscles. And this is a real boring, monotonous, yet very strategic thing had to take place for you to be able to be that person that could win.
Yeah.
And so you can't just look at the game. You can't just show up at the game and think that's who that player is. You know, you're seeing what happens because they are who they are. Does that make sense? Because they did what they did, what you can't see, you're seeing something that they can do. They can't. Somebody says, that's just natural. Well, natural means they worked really hard all their life.
That's right.
And the reason why they're running that ball and they're in the NFL, for example, is they've taken a lot of blows. They've taken a lot of hits. Mm-hmm. They were willing to face all that and do what it took to be able to do it. So they really, what they're doing is they're running in a certain way. They're running in such a way to win the prize. There's no team out there, no matter what they tell you, in NFL, for example, they're not playing to come in second. They're not playing not to win the ring. I mean, they want to win.
That's right.
There's no 8-track members that are side by side looking at each other going, you know, I'm just at your leave. I'm going to let you go ahead and win this thing. They're running to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running in such a way to win. And it just on and on when you talk about it. And I did talk about the earlier program, but it makes you think of, you know, they run in such a way as to win. But it makes me think of what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 9:24 when he says, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? I mean, he's literally putting a competitive mindset here. And he says, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. So only one wins, but everyone goes into strict training, he says. As they do this, which is strict training, to get a crown that will not last. Despite all these gold medals and stuff, He says, but we do it. In other words, he's talking about some sort of athletic event and comparing it in regards to it. And what they get, he says, but it comes back and compares it to us as believers. He says, but we do it. What do? We do strict training. We do strict training. He says, we do this training and running in such a way to get a prize. The prize is to get a crown that will last forever. Where their prizes don't last forever, ours lasts forever. It's a crown. He says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. And do not fight like a man that's beating the air. I mean, you think about aimlessly. Aimless means efforts and meaningless efforts, aimless efforts and actions. There's a lot of aimless activity going on in life in general. But, I mean, how many people that are, I mean, where's the church?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we doing things aimlessly? I mean, are we just whatever, you know, whatever? And if we're not, you know, think about strict training, if we're not even reading our Bibles, if we're not even concerned about how the race is run,
hello,
it's not even aimless. It could be meaningless. Meaningless, because he goes on to say, no, this is what Paul says. I beat my body. Think about that. This is Paul talking about, I beat my body. I beat my body so that after I have preached to others that I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I mean, that just blows today's doctrines that are outside the Word of God out of the water. And you think, well, he's talking about, listen, everybody gets in. He's not talking about the kingdom here. Everybody gets in. This is what folks say. They say, you know, there's all kinds of things people say.
Hmm.
But he's saying, you know, it makes me think, because that's what Paul said. Let's just find out what Jesus said, because this will help us out a little bit. Because that's what Paul said. You know, men know in part and prophesy in part, and God's revealing himself to him. And this is written under the unction of the Holy Spirit.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Floating on clouds, everything is dreamy. If that's your picture of heaven, then listen to Randy Alcorn on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Serving God for all eternity, seeing God and being with Him forever and doing what He's called us to do and made us to do, that's exciting. And Satan doesn't want us to be excited about heaven. And one of the main reasons, I think, is that you have a bunch of Christians going around who aren't excited about heaven. They think that it's maybe going to be dull and boring and all of that. Well, how motivated are they to share the gospel with their non-Christian neighbor?
There's no doubt we can learn a lot about eternity from the Bible and not so much from contemporary culture. Randy's painted a picture of heaven that should excite us. Learn more about heaven and having a relationship with God when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcasts. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have yes. it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, very specifically, going through verse 23, he says, not everyone who runs the race, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. So the gospels that you're hearing, the doctrines that you're hearing, that everybody's going to be saved and everybody's going to enter the kingdom of heaven, is not true. It's not, Jesus said it's not true. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does. I mean, think about that word, does, the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's like, does? Does? You mean aimless belief does not work? Beating the air doesn't work? You know, busying myself with darkness, waiting for your return, doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Watching media and playing whatever and doing whatever until you just show up and, you know, I go, I plead the blood. You know, he says, not everyone gets in. He says, many, this is what Jesus is saying now. So it's confirming what Paul's talking about right here. He said, many will say to me on that day, this is the day that he comes back, Lord, Lord, did we not do ministry? Look at this. Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons, and in your name, perform many miracles. In other words, so then we're understanding then that if we're known by our fruit, then the gifts that God has given us is not our fruit, and nor does it determine whether we're going to enter into the kingdom of God or not, nor does it mean that we're saved. Mm-hmm. Sad to say.
Right.
Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I mean, Jesus says, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, talking to the Pharisees, who do you drive them out by? In other words, they drove them out.
Right.
And they weren't saved. Right. And he called them whitewashed tombs. So a whitewashed tomb can drive a demon out. So then he says, I will plainly tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So I just want to help you with the first perspective in looking at this that kind of challenges me to say, you know what? This is not a concept of how to live a more productive Christian life. This is an expectation of Jesus himself for us to do the will of the Father. And Paul is imparting to us the wisdom and giving us a comparison and saying, you know what? I mean, think about a runner. Think about a boxer. And I'm saying, think about a football player. Think about a baseball player. Look, what you see on the field is one thing. What you see behind that when you see a minister come to a stage or a podium or a radio or whatever, what you're seeing with us right here, this is a sum total of what we've done behind the scenes. This is not what we were doing. This is not it.
Right.
Because you have people like, hey, I'm going to go do it. You got to do what's behind it to get to this point in the context of that. You got to run a race, and there's a race to be ran. And so he says, you know, run in such a way as to win the prize. And there's a prize, and the prize is the crown of life. Mm. But think about that, the crown of life. And that's very powerful because when you think about that, that's what God is giving us when we ourselves begin to say, you know what? I want to have the crown of eternal life. I want to live forever in the presence of God. Okay, we'll run in such a way, which means it's not just saying, you know, a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving your life over to God, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and doing his will in view of his mercies to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And it makes me think about, you know, what is the prize? It's a crown. You think about the different crowns. I think about the crown of glory, you know, when in 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 1 and 4, he says, to the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow believer and as a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will suffer in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them because you must, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of God's flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory.
Mm.
Think about that. So when Jesus appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
Mm.
So when you're looking over God's people, and he tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, that God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help him. But let me tell you something. By doing that, you have a crown of glory waiting for you. You have a prize. Run in such a way as to win the prize, to get the crown of glory. Not only the crown of eternal life, the crown of glory. And these are prizes. This is just rewards that God just says, you know, I just want to be able to give you this. And I think about the crown of life. He talks about it in James chapter 1, verse 12. He says, you know, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Mm.
It's not only the crown of glory, but the crown of life. Those who persevere, and in this life, it takes perseverance. I mean, you can be sold out to darkness and call it perseverance. You know, why are you in jail? They say, you know, I mean, because you robbed a bank. That's not perseverance. I'm talking about, you know, staying close to God and you know, obviously, you know, having to repent continually because of our sin nature and all. But understand that. We're going to talk more about that because I want to talk about the crown of righteousness next, because he says, run in such a way as to win the prize. We're talking about the crown of glory and running in such a way as to win the prize. And he's talking about that. And it's so important because Jesus is saying, listen, you could do ministry. You can preach a kingdom that you yourself will not enter into. And so we want to pay attention that we just can't do what our flesh wants to do. And then there's not consequences for it. We do falter, and Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7, but it's things that we don't want to do. It's not the things that we want to do. But he talks about a crown of righteousness. Here's another prize, a crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 8. He talks about it. It says, for I am, this is Paul being, he's in prison. He says, I am being poured out like a drink offering. and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. I mean, think about that. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So serving the Lord, doing what he's required of us, and he's in prison when he's saying this, so understand that he said the truth, he spoke the truth, and it cost him his freedom to be able to do that. And he was about to be, you know, beheaded in the context of that, talking about being poured out like a drink offering. But he says, but he's going to get the crown of righteousness from the righteous judge who will award him. That's Jesus. And so you think about that. And he said, those that long, do you long for Jesus' appearing? Or you're one of the ones that says, you know, I hope you don't come back today because I just got a job.
Oh, gosh.
You know, all these different things. Like, what are you serious?
I'm not ready to go to heaven yet.
I still want to have, you know, I want to have kids. You know, these different things.
Oh, like, gosh.
Like, you're delaying the coming of our Lord as if you could. Because of what you see, we're longing for his coming.
Mm.
We're longing for his coming. He talks about a crown of righteousness. And then there's a victory crown of life. He talks about in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison. That's what just happened, you know, Paul that we're talking about, to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Days of 1,000 years and 1,000 years of a day. But be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Hmm. So the crown of life, the crown of eternal life, when you think about it. And what will we do with those crowns? When you think about it, you know, what will we do with those crowns? Because you think about that crown then represents, think about this, all these jewels in your crown represents what you did for God. Remember, Jesus said many people will come to him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not? He says, listen, I never knew you. But those that do know him understand that he will remember what you've done and he will reward you accordingly for what you have done. And he's saying right here, so each of those jewels in your crown are stuff that you're just like, okay, God, I'll give you all this. I'll give you all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm longing for your appearing. I'm going to do whatever it takes to do whatever I need to do, what you told me to do in this season of my life. And he talks about in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, he says, you know, what do we do with these crowns? What do we do with these crowns? Because a lot of people say, yeah, I got my crown. And I'm like, but think about it. This is what happens. You look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, John is getting this revelation of heaven and what will happen. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice that he had heard first speak, he heard him speaking again like a trumpet. He says, come up here, some things I must show you what must take place. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And I'm feeling my balls right there. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby and a rainbow that shone like an emerald circle encircled the throne. So you think this rainbow is encircling the throne of God. Surrounding the throne was 24 other thrones, and seated on them was 24 elders, and they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. So these crowns of gold were on the head of these elders that were surrounded the throne, which the throne was surrounded by an emerald rainbow with living creatures, just powerful things are going on. So these are the crowns. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rambles and pearls of thunder. In front of the throne were seven lamps that were blazing, which are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the thrones were what looked to be like the sea of glass, crystal clear. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first was like that of a lion, the second was that like that of an ox, and the third was like that of a face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures, talking about the throne of God here, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around underneath it. Day after day, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Think about this. And whenever these living creatures would give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him. Think about this. Who lives forever and ever. What do? they laid their crowns before the throne and said, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And you think about this. Will you have a crown? Will you have the crown of eternal life? Will you have the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory? Will you have anything to lay down before him? Did you run in such a way as to win the prize, a crown that would not fade away, or did you run your whole race for yourself? Did you say, "Everything's too hard. I'm not going to beat my flesh. I'm not going to tell myself no. I'm going to give myself everything I want. I'm going to justify everything that I do." What happens when you stand before the throne of God and you don't have eternal life, the crown of eternal life? You can't say that you, if you did not say no to yourself, that means you never said yes to God. He said, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. And if you don't do this, we can have no part of him. It's not about doing something for him. You actually have to bow down and make him the Lord of your life. And then his will is revealed to you. He says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed anymore to the patterns of this world. Start beating your flesh and saying no to yourself, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Find out what God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will is in this process. And you think about it, that when you start loving on folks and helping folks, people themselves are our crown. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 through 20, Paul was talking right here. He says, "Brothers and sisters, when we were orphans by being separated from you for a short time in person and not being there, out of our intense longing, we made every effort so to be able to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly, I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. But what in our hope, our joy, and the crown of which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes." Think about it. Is it not you? Is it not you? See, you are our glory and joy, Paul talks about. And so you think about it. What have you done? What have you done? I mean, this is such an idolatrous culture today in regards to tell myself no. Tell myself no. Beat my flesh. Disqualify. There's no disqualifying. Jesus said it. Paul said it. But you know what? You can find out today. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today and say, you know what? I am all yours. I'm laying it down for you, Jesus. You can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and make Jesus Christ truly the Lord of your life and begin to run this race in such a way as to win the crown of eternal life. So when we stand before him who is worthy, you'll be able to take that crown off and lay it down and say, worthy. Worthy are you, Lord, to receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For everything was created by you and for you and have their being. Jesus, you're everything.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you know, you remember the jury comes in and the judge order in the court. They open the little piece of paper where your whole life could just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in. And Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is the relationship. You can't, if you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you don't even have a concept of him. And secondly, you might not even know him. Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice, which is so cool because God wants to be with you.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. Steve, I know you were talking about, in the break, talking to us about hardships.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've been reading John Bevere's book,
mm-hmm.
The Bait of Satan, and yeah. You've been sharing on that, and we've enjoyed that
tremendously.
But I know you're talking about hardships. Talk to us.
Well, in the book, John Bevere just shares about a time in his life when...
talking about the book, The Bait of Satan?
Correct. This is in The Bait of Satan. But he was talking about a time when he was under a specific authority and at a time where it was just a powerful, godly authority. And then just a season went in his life when he was unable to receive from them and just being familiar. And in that time, he just felt like, okay, he wasn't supposed to be there. And then there was another family in the same fellowship that they were under the assumption that God was calling them to go away. And during this time, John Bevere and his wife just had just an uneasiness. There was just, and what was powerful, when he puts it, he's like, our spirits had no joy. And during this time, like, this family was telling John Bevere and his wife, you know, you need to go somewhere where you can get on with the call of God in your life. You know, you're just not at peace right now. Why don't you just come with us? And they were basically, and John Bevere talks about this, it's like they were basically just feeding into, you know, where they were getting offended or where they thought they needed to be because they were just affirming their uncomfortability in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what just really stuck out to me was how he said the fact that we had no joy. And this is what John Bevere says in his book, The Bait of Satan. He says, and he's talking about the other family. He says, this was not the fault of the other pastor and his wife, but ours. They understood our frustration and were trying to resolve the same issues in their own hearts of that just uncomfortability. Why is there this consistent struggle? He says, when you're out of the will of God, you will not be a blessing or help to any church. When you're out of the will of God, even the good relationships will be strained. We had been out of the will of God. He said, offended people react to the situation and do things that appear right, even though they're not inspired by God.
Mm.
And we're not called to react, we're not called to react, but to act. And that really just spoke to me because what God has been speaking to me and showing to me is just like, there's going to be those difficult moments. There's going to be those uncomfortability seasons in our life when God's working on us, mm-hmm. and we can get focused on the fact of, you know, this just doesn't feel good.
Does he ever stop working on us?
Oh, he doesn't. that's the joy of it. It's just like God's always working on us. But at the same time, too, is that God will even bring people around us that will feed into our flesh of what we of what we think. But that's also the test, because it's just like, we're not called to listen to what other people are saying about our flesh or what we want to hear. We're called to abide. We're called to live and rely on that fresh word, that mm-hmm. daily word. God, what are you saying about this situation? Because as much mm-hmm. as I'd like to be out there, and then when we have people say, you know what? Yeah, I really think that what God, you need to be out there. And it's just like, but God, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. Because that's that perspective that we need to have, because those times are going to come. And what's even consistent and powerful is he continues to talk about, just like, if you think about a plant, you think about a tree. And I think about the hurricanes and the Gulf Coast. It's the strength of trees that are strengthened in the hardships. Those strong storms, that's when the roots go down. And if you were to listen to a plant, if it says, oh, it's too hot, I don't like it here, and we were to move it, if you move a plant, you know, every month, every couple of days, you're going to kill it. And we have to take that time of just getting roots down in God, regardless of the storm, regardless of what's coming against us, because the hardships are meant to work on us.
Absolutely. You mm-hmm. know, and it's amazing how you can be going through a hardship, a trial, a situation, and God's working on you. You're on the potter's wheel. You're the clay. Remember, he's the potter, mm-hmm. and he can do what he wants. But it's amazing that if you're not careful, see, God has a plan for you. That, rest assured, understand this, settle this in your heart, that God has a plan for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knit you in your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundations of the earth, and he allowed you to be born to live. So God has destiny inside of you, and he is working to have that destiny revealed. But what's also true is that Satan has a plan too. Satan has a plan to steal, kill, and destroy, and to rob from you what God wants to bring to you and through you.
Yeah.
And he will line up people, even well-meaning people, that could be used in derailing what God's trying to do in your life. I mean, if you think of yourself on a train, and you're on the pathway to you know, fulfilling God's destiny and plan for your life, mm-hmm. the enemy is constantly trying to derail your train and get you off the tracks. Mm-hmm. He's trying to throw something in that railway, something, you know, nudge you up against your flesh and get you to tip on over. And one of the worst things that you can do when you're going through a time of uncertainty and just not sure is to take opinion polls. Yeah. And a lot of times people get tempted to do that, to get opinion polls and get other people's opinions about what they are going through. And it's like, man, careful, because mm-hmm. you're opening yourself up for someone just to agree with your flesh. And if mm-hmm. you get agreement, many to agree.
That's right.
If you get agreement, then that's it.
Yeah.
And that then becomes that, and it could be rebellion in your heart. It could be totally missing God's way. And a lot of times, you know, who wants to feel uncomfortable? Oftentimes we think that feeling uncomfortable or the heat getting too close, we think that that's a bad thing because we're supposed to feel comfort. Listen, feeling the heat and feeling uncomfortable is a great thing. When you think about what happens with the eagle and then actually with birds, you know, part of the idea of getting the eaglets or the birds to get out of the nest, mm-hmm. they've been living in this nest. The mama's made it all comfortable, got some twigs, got some leaves. It's hooked up. Got a little baby flat screen up in there. You know, the nest is hooked up.
Yeah.
There's comfort there. Mama's bringing food, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point where the little eaglet or the little bird's got to get out that nest.
Yeah.
And what the eagle does, mother eagle or the bird, it begins to break up the nest. It begins to pull things out of the nest so that it can be, the bird or the eaglet can become more and more uncomfortable with the present surroundings. Mm-hmm. Not because the mama eagle's bored, but because she understands that she has to get this bird flying and living and sustaining. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in your life, you can become so comfortable, maybe in your sin, maybe comfortable in your fear, maybe comfortable in just who you are and your way of doing things and your mindset, that God's saying, listen, I allowed that for a season in your life, but where you are going and where I'm taking you, mm-hmm. you're going to have to let that stuff go.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. Based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Hmm. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was going to go to the restroom. You're not going to believe this. So I go to the restroom, I was in my zone. What's that?
We might believe this.
Yeah. You know, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone. And just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes, and there's no difference between men and women, and we're all, all the stuff was going on. And I didn't even look at the door. I didn't even look at the door. You know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door, and I thought, my goodness. Now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? And it was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I was just couldn't believe it. I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you can't, you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room. And it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the braille. Okay, yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally just tried to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell you. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
And so we have different seasons. We have different things that God's trying to do. And if we try to go into a new season with old ways, we're not going to inherit. Mm-hmm. It's like putting new wine in an old wineskin. You're the wineskin. God's ripping and tearing and pulling.
That's right.
Yeah. He's about to pop the cork.
He's about to pop the cork. He's reshaping you, reforming you, and getting you prepared for what he's going to do. And I've heard it said that God can pull you through anything if you're willing to withstand the pull.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. And John Bevere was just like, this is not right. You know, well, God was preparing him.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you look at how God is using John Bevere. He's wrote probably one of the most powerful books. I mean, his ministry is worldwide, and he has an amazing impact for the kingdom of God and him and his wife. And it's just a beautiful story. But I would dare say that if they didn't go through the trials that they went through when God was forming and working in their life, that they wouldn't be where they are today being mm-hmm. used in the mm-hmm. way they're being used today.
That's right.
And that's the thing with you. We got to encourage ourselves that no matter what we're facing and going through, no matter, don't rate whether it's godly if you feel uncomfortable. That's a bad rating scale. Don't measure it. Yeah. This is uncomfortable. This is supposed to just feel right. This is supposed to feel so good and mushy and... Mm. No, it's not always like that. It's not always like that. That's why you just have to hang your hat on Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. No matter what. That's why you got to know him personally. That's why you need to abide with him. You got to know, like the sky is blue and the grass is green, that he loves you, that he's got a plan for your life, and that nothing can come past you or through you or to you that didn't first get filtered through the hand of God. Mm. And if God allowed it,
you were meant for it. It has a purpose.
It has Absolutely. A purpose.
Yeah. And it's just that much more. And lastly, just what John Bevere continues, he says, but God put us in these very uncomfortable crucibles to mature us, to refine and strengthen, not to destroy us. That's that perspective we need.
Absolutely. And we can rejoice in the midst of the crucible. Mm. We can rejoice in the midst of it because God's doing something.
Amen.
That's the thing. God is doing something. Be encouraged. Listen, there is a fresh season for you. God is doing a new thing, and it's powerful, but you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it because you refuse to allow God to mold you and shape you. You keep getting out of the fire. You keep Amen. Getting yourself, crawling yourself, sliding yourself off of the potter's wheel. It's like, get back on this wheel.
You ain't finished.
Get back on here. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Walking around with a crooked vase and a, you know, bent up. It's like, get back on here. You're unfinished. Think about it. So many people that are walking around, believers, unfinished works of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Unfinished works of clay, looking at each other. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? We can't do nothing with it. Can't put water in it. Can't put a flower in it. Can't, mm-hmm. you're not prepared
because
mm-hmm. you got off the wheel. And it's not comfortable. But let me tell you, if you cry out to God, that's what you got to cry out to him. You got to know him. religion's not going to be enough. Listen, it's not going to be enough. You got to know him. You got to walk with him and talk with him. He's got to be your very best friend. And listen, you and Jesus are a majority. Mm. You know, you are a majority. Mm. And he'll take you through it. He'll take you through it if you allow him. And when you come out on the other side, this is the thing. When you come out on the other side, you're different.
Amen.
You're prepared. And it's just a new season of blessing. So, you know, yeah, we don't need to avoid the hardship. It's just a matter of how we can go through the hardship. Mm. You know, got to go through the hardship.
That's good.
Think about, you know, weight trainers and muscles. You got to break the muscles down to build them back up. You got to break it down and build it back up.
That's right.
That's a part of working out. And if that's true in the physical realm, how much more is it that in the spiritual realm?
Yeah.
You know, God will use it any situation he wants to help us to humble us down.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so stand strong, stand firm. Let nothing move you off the wheel of God and allow him to mold you into what he wants to mold you to become. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-hmm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. You scrub a pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after-bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Oh my goodness, Auntie's. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.